The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is a book about farm animals, baby farm animals, and their Easter surprise. It's called Sweet Pea and Friends, The Easter Surprise by John and Jennifer Churchman. This book is full of beautiful photographs of the farm and green grass and beautiful wildflowers that have sprouted out on the in the spring. And the trees are green now and they're budding out. It's so beautiful. Fern the bunny woke up to a warm spring breeze tickling her nose. It's morning, she thought excitedly. Sweet Pea the sheep had promised her a surprise today. Fern hopped toward the barn to find out what it could be. As she passed the old maple tree, Fern heard two squirrels chittering to each other. I didn't put it there. Did you put it there? No, I didn't put it there. Did you put it there? Put what where? Fern wondered. She looked up and saw a beautifully decorated egg. How pretty. The picture on that egg looks just like Mo, the farm kitten. Fern decided to ask him about it before going to find Sweet Pea the sheep. Fern discovered Mo prowling around outside the kitchen garden. Look what I found, Mo said, pointing to the colorful eggs hiding among the lettuce. This one has a picture on it that keeps reminding me of Keeper the Goose. And there's another beautiful Easter egg with the goose on it and two baby yellow ducklings. This feels like a mystery, exclaimed Fern. She loved following clues. Come on, let's go find Keeper the Goose. Fern and Mo the kitten hurried to the pond, where Keeper was watching over her baby goslings. All three were honking excitedly. We found fancy eggs, said Rose from on top of her mother's back. This one has a picture of a puppy on it, peeped Myrtle the duckling. The next clue. Everyone follow me, said Fern. But Mo was busy batting at a dragonfly headed back to its home in the wildflower field. Mo, come on, said Fern. The friends ran to the orchard where they heard the sheepdog puppies yipping and yapping as they chased several brightly colored eggs down the hill. Do you know who is leaving these eggs around the farm, Tosh? The puppy asked Fern. This one has a picture of ducklings on it. No, it's a mystery, said Fern. We'll stop to see Sweet Pea on the way to see the ducklings. Maybe she'll know what's going on. Just then, a rustle made Fern look behind her. Were those soft, pointy ears peeking out above the grass? She blinked, and the ears were gone. That was curious, she thought. When the friends reached the barn, the sheep were baaing to one another. Little Finn, the lamb, had found a colorful egg in his hay. It has a picture of a rooster on it, said Violet, another lamb. First ducklings and now a rooster. We're definitely going to the chicken house next, said Fern. But wait, is Sweet Pea here? No, we haven't seen her all morning long, replied the lambs. Excuse me? No one had seen Sweet Pea at the chicken house either. But the chicks, turkey poults, that means turkey, little baby turkeys, and ducklings joined in the egg hunt. They searched here and there, up and down, running all around. We can't find any fancy eggs, they cried in dismay. How can we solve the mystery without a clue to follow, thought Fern. Oh dear, what are they going to do? Squawk! All of a sudden, Mother Hen lifted her large feathery body off her nest. Decorated eggs were piled high underneath her, and right on top was one with a picture of Lily the lamb. Something else caught Fern's eye. It looked like a big, fluffy tail disappearing behind the barn. "Did you see that?" she asked Mo. "See what?" he asked, rolling an egg in front of him. "Come on, let's go find Lily the lamb again." The friends met Lily and the other lambs in the spring pasture. "We've been finding eggs all over the field," said Lily. Just then, Scout peeked out from behind a lilac bush. Scout is one of the puppies. "I found another one." It was a bright green egg with a picture of a big ram on it. The ram is the daddy sheep. Everyone got very quiet. "Uh-oh," said Fern. I think they were afraid of him. The friends lined up along the ram pen. They could see a pretty egg inside of it, but couldn't reach it. Tweed, the grumpy ram, snorted and stomped his hoof. "Let's find Maisie and Laddie," suggested Fern. "They'll know how to get that egg." But as she turned to lead everyone away, she saw long whiskers twitching in the flowers. Could it be Sweet Pea? No, Sweet Pea doesn't have whiskers. Maisie and Laddie, the sheepdogs, were with Sadie the pony. There was a decorated egg balancing on Sadie's fence. "An egg has rolled into Grumpy Tweed's pen," Fern exclaimed. "Can you help us get it out?" Laddie and Maisie, the puppies, quickly followed her back to the pen. Everyone sat perfectly still while Maisie distracted Tweed, and Laddie gently pulled the pretty egg to safety with his paw. On it was the next clue, a picture of Poppy the alpaca. This was a farm with lots of baby animals on it, isn't it? "She'll be in the meadow," said Fern. The alpacas were having their late afternoon snack by the time Fern and her friends arrived. "There's a topsy-turvy row of eggs tucked in our grass," said Poppy. "We even found one with a picture of Sweet Pea on it." "But we haven't been able to find Sweet Pea all day," said Mo. The animals looked at one another, not sure what to do next. Was their mystery over? Fern looked closely at Sweet Pea's egg, rubbing her nose to think. The egg was decorated with a band of wildflowers and a tiny dragonfly. A dragonfly, thought Fern. I've got it. Sweet Pea must be in the wildflower field. So now they're going back there to look. Come, everyone, follow me, said Fern, and off she hopped with all the little animals running behind her. It was getting dark at last when at last Fern saw Sweet Pea at the far end of the wildflower field. She was talking to the biggest bunny Fern had ever seen. By the time the friends reached Sweet Pea, that big bunny had disappeared. But a large basket of beautiful eggs sat in the grass. And right on top of it was the fanciest egg of all. That's me, said Fern. Yes, said Sweet Pea, you solved the mystery. And you've just been on your first Easter egg hunt. Excuse me. Fern bounced happily. It had been a mystery, and she had solved it with the help of her friends. That night, as Fern settled down to sleep, she asked Sweet Pea, "Who was that big bunny in the field today?" Now that was a dear friend of mine, the Easter Bunny, who loves mysteries just as much as you do. Fern yawned. Thank you for such a special surprise. You're welcome, whispered Sweet Pea. Happy Easter, Fern, and good night. And right outside the window, peeking in at all the little animals falling asleep, is the big Easter Bunny, who is very happy after his happy day giving out eggs to the little animals. Our next book is called King Arthur's Very Great Grandson, and it's by Kenneth Craigle. And it's a book about Henry Alfred Grimorson, who was the great 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 grandson of King Arthur, the noblest knight ever to wield a sword. One day, on the day Henry turned 6 years old, he woke up very early. He ate a large breakfast. He mounted his trusty donkey, Knuckles, and went out in search of adventure. And there's his donkey trying to run fast, but you know donkeys can't go very fast at all. He had heard of a fire-breathing dragon far out in the hills. So into the hills he went. When he found the terrible dragon, Henry announced himself loudly, "Behold, vile worm, I, Henry Alfred Grimorson, a knight of King Arthur's blood, do hereby challenge you to a fight to the uttermost." The dragon drew in a long, slow breath, but all he blew was smoke rings. "Can you top that, young knight?" "Smoke rings," Henry exclaimed. "I have no time for smoke rings. I want to fight. Strength against strength. Might against might." "I see. Well, if rough adventure is what you seek, maybe you should try the Cyclops high up in the mountains." Straight away, Henry and Knuckles sped into the high mountains, eager to do battle with the one-eyed giant. Ooh, these are very sharp, pointy, tall mountains with not many trees on them. Near the day's end, Henry found himself face to face with the dreaded Cyclops. "Giant, I am here to do battle with you. Prepare yourself and let us begin." The Cyclops stared at Henry, and Henry stared back. They stared and stared until Henry could stare no longer. "Enough, Flonai," Henry shouted. "You have had a time of plenty. Let the battle commence." "But the battle has already begun," the Cyclops explained. "Whoever blinks first is the loser. I thought you understood." "No, no," cried Henry. "I am not interested in a staring contest. I want a struggle of arms, a test of might and courage." The Cyclops considered. "If it is physical danger you desire, you should visit the Griffin down in the valley." Once again, Henry and Knuckles were off. They galloped through the night, eager to do battle with the ferocious Griffin. High in the branches of a massive chestnut tree, Henry found the grim Griffin. He held out his sword and he cried, "Aha, strange bird, I am come, and at last I have found a worthy opponent. Now, unsheath your claws, and let us have ado." A griffin is a bird that was in old ancient stories and myths. It was never real. But a griffin had a tail like a lion, and a beak, and feathers on parts of its body, and clawed feet like a bird on its front feet, but its back legs and its tummy looked exactly like a lion's back. the back end of a lion. And to Henry's delight, the formidable beast agreed to unsheath his claws. But he pulled out a chessboard. "I prefer black. Is that okay?" the griffin asked. "No, it is not okay," shouted Henry. "I want swordplay, a struggle, a battle to the uttermost, and if you will not have it do with me, tell me who will." Obviously, the griffin wanted to play chess. "Well, if it is danger you seek," advised the griffin, "then go down to the sea, and you will find the leviathan. Of all the living beasts, he's the most to be feared." So Henry leaped across atop Knuckles, and they rowed furiously out to the sea, determined to have a battle, come what may. There, in the roiling waters, Henry caught a glimpse of a truly enormous beast just below the surface. He cleared his throat, gathered together his 6 years of manhood, and shouted, "Ready yourself, monster, and I shall have ado with you, for I am Henry Alfred Grimorson, the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Arthur, King of Britain." That looks like a huge... You can't see the whole body of this monster under the sea, but you can see his front fin and his middle fin, and way back beyond another wave is his tail. Brrr. And said this monster, as he did a yawn, "Greetings, I say greetings to the highly esteemed great-great-great-great... Hey, wait, where are you going? I thought we were going to play a game. Hello?" Even though he hadn't subdued the leviathan, Henry was not dismayed. After all, he had traveled great distances and had come face to face with four terrible monsters. To his knowledge, not even the great King Arthur had accomplished as much in his first 2 days as a 6-year-old. But Henry had also found something he hadn't known he was looking for. He found friendship, and he liked that very much. And the last picture shows him with all his new friends. There's the dragon and the one-eyed giant, the cyclops, and the big griffin thing, and there's the monster waving from the sea, and there's his donkey up on the hill, very calmly eating grass. And there is Henry, and there is the cyclops with the two friends watching, and they're all playing chess together. And that's the end of that book. Isn't it great to make friends? That's a very special book about friendship. Our next book is Thelma the Unicorn by Erin Blaby. And this book is really about learning to love who you are, even if you are not a fancy person or an exciting person, but just yourself. Just be yourself and like yourself, and then people will like you. Thelma felt a little sad. In fact, she felt forlorn. You see, she wished with all her heart to be a unicorn. Her best friend's name was Otis, a donkey, but he liked her quite a lot. He said, "You're perfect as you are." But Thelma says, "I'm not." And that is when she saw it, a carrot on the ground. It gave her such a great idea, she squealed and jumped around. She took that simple carrot and she tied it to her nose. "I'll say that I'm a unicorn. It might just work. Who knows?" And as she did, a truck drove by. The driver rubbed his eyes. "Good grief, is that a unicorn?" he shrieked in great surprise. as Thelma watched the swerving truck, it nearly, very nearly hit her. Would you believe that truck was filled with nice pink paint and glitter? Oh my goodness, all the pink paint is just shooting up into the sky. And then on top of it, all the glitter is falling down and falling onto the wet paint that fell onto Thelma. And soon she looks like a glittering unicorn. Oh, Thelma looked amazing. She was a unicorn. I'm special now, she cried out loud. And so a star was born. There are so many people taking pictures at her fence. And so she's very happy because she's famous and special. All across the whole wide world, her fans would cheer her name. Thelma loved it, every bit. The fame, the fame, the fame. She was so famous. Thelma was a superstar. Her dreams had all come true. But soon she found that so much fame was kind of tricky, too. You see, her fans were mad for her. They'd scream and cry and laugh. They'd chase her everywhere she went to get her autograph. In fact, they chased her all day long. It never, ever stopped. They chased her while she exercised. They chased her while she shopped. Please don't chase me anymore, she asked the screaming crowds. We'll chase you all we want, they said. We're the fans, so it's allowed. Here are all the people there waiting to see Thelma, and they've all tied paper horns on their head to look just like her, and the girls have put glitter on their hair and are wearing glitter skirts and glitter shirts. They're all coming to see Thelma, and they like to copy her and take lots of pictures. And some were not her fans at all. No, some were really mean, and some just did the meanest things she'd really ever seen. And there are two girls standing on the sidewalk saying, with a big sign. One says, I don't like unicorns. And the little girl standing beside her with her sign says, I agree. So one dark night she felt quite sad, this famous little pony. She said, I thought that I'd feel great, but all I feel is lonely. And so with that, she changed her mind, this lonely unicorn. She cleaned off all her sparkles and ditched her magic horn. And then she walked right past the crowd. They didn't even notice. She thought how nice that it would be to see her lovely Otis, and that was her friend the donkey. And when he asked her about her trip beneath their favorite tree, she simply said, oh, it was fun, but I'd rather be just me. And that is the end of that song. That piece, excuse me, that book. This book is called Fish Are Not Afraid of Doctors by J.E. Morris. And this is about a little koala bear named Maud. They're in the doctor's office. Maud is with her mom, and they're going to see Dr. Susan for a checkup today. So, here we go. Maud went to see Dr. Susan for a checkup. And there she was waiting in the waiting room, and she was watching the fish in the beautiful fish tank in the waiting room. And she watched the fish tank and saw all sorts of pretty fish. Do you think fish are afraid of doctors? Asked Maud. Well, fish don't go to the doctor, said Mother. I wish I was a fish, said Maud. Maud, we're ready for you, said Dr. Susan. Maud? She was here a second ago, said Mother. Maud heard a small voice coming from the fish tank. Maud left. Yep, she's gone. There was Maud behind the fish tank. No one here but us fish, said the boat voice. You know fish don't talk, right? Said Mother. Everybody follow me, said Dr. Susan. And there's Susan sitting on the examining table, taking off her shirt for Dr. Susan. And Maud's mom is sitting there in the room, and Dr. Susan is washing her hands. Dr. Susan looked in Maud's mouth and looked in Maud's eyes. She listened to Maud's heart go thump, a bump, a thought, a bump, and she even let Maud listen too. Everything looks good, said Dr. Susan. All you need now is a vaccination. What's a vaccination? Asked Maud. It's just a teeny tiny little shot. You will hardly feel it, said Dr. Susan. Oh dear, she's gone again. I think it was something I said, said Dr. Susan. There's Maud hiding in the table, and the examining table that has little doors on, has a door underneath that she can hide inside the cupboard. Mother knew right where to look. Hello in there. Well, why do I need a shot? Asked Maud. I'm not sick. A vaccination is a special kind of shot that keeps you from getting sick, explained Dr. Susan. Are fish afraid of vaccinations? Said Maud. I don't think fish need vaccinations. I really wish I were a fish, said Maud, and she sighed. Maud shut her eyes. She pretended that she had two floppy fins. She pretended that she had shiny red scales. She pretended that she had a swishy swooshy tail. She pretended she was swimming in the deep blue sea. She saw lots of colorful fish. She even saw a big, squiggly, brown octopus. Yikes! She found a herd of sea turtles. She patted their firm, hard shells. She met an enormous whale who sang her a big whaley song. And she blew lots and lots and lots of bubbles. Maud, it's time to go. We're all done, said Dr. Susan. We are, replied Maud. See, that wasn't so bad. It's all over. Have a sticker. And so Maud picked a fish sticker, of course. You were very brave, said Mother. Don't you know, said Maud, that fish are not afraid of doctors. And there she is, walking out with her mom, and the exam is all over. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read Succeed. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time.